You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Cashelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Cashelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, we've begun a new series of lectures. We want to discuss the sinful condition of the heart. Now, when we say heart, we're not talking about the Hallmark heart, the touchy-feely, oopy-goopy, emotional type thing like on the TV. Instead, we're talking about the Hebrew way of speaking. The heart is actually the way of thinking. It's the way in which we see, we perceive, we act, we will, we think. It's much more equivalent to what we would call the mind in the Western world. Now, the problem is that we are living on this side of the fall into sin. We're part of this fallen creation, and so therefore, we are conceived and born in this corrupted state. We have a corrupted heart. As you recall, in our last lecture, we looked at Genesis chapter 6, in which Moses gives us this insight, this revealed knowledge, that Yahweh saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now remember, as we said before, the fall into sin happens in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 5, we are told that Adam has a son who is born in his image and likeness. That would be in a state of rebellion against the Creator. Adam is now fallen creature, and his sons are fallen creatures too. Of course, that would also mean the daughters. Both sons and daughters inherit this sin, this original sin from Adam and Eve. We are all sons of Adam and daughters of Eve. And then here in Genesis chapter 6, we are taught that the condition of the heart now is that which is corrupted. The thoughts and the intentions are only and continually evil. This is the corrupted state of the heart, that we are in rebellion against God because of our sin. We are conceived and born enemies of God. We don't want to hear God's word. We do not want to hear God's will. We constantly, by nature, are inclined to resist the work of the Holy Spirit, and reject the Word of God. Now, this wickedness of the heart, this wickedness of man, this depravity, this is pure evil. And as we've said before, evil is death versus good, which is life. The sin that enters into this creation and takes over the heart brings separation from God and death. And therefore, one of the things that comes from the corrupted heart, which flows out of it, is murder. It's putting to death the good life, the gift that God has given to another. It's that hatred for the goodness of God and the gift of life that another has from God. Now, this is the wickedness of the heart. It is pure evil. Now, we want to look at the Psalter here, and in the book of Psalms, we meditate upon God's word. For it is God's word that restores and renews our heart, for his word is good. His word is truth. His word brings light, for he is light. He enlightens our hearts to see things properly. It is by his word that we have life. And look at the word. The Word of God comes to restore and to renew our hearts. In Psalm 7, we are taught that Yahweh is the judge. As we said before, he's the one who judges the heart and the kidneys. But in Psalm 7, we know that Yahweh is a judge because the word of truth has told us so. The revealed knowledge of the written scripture gives to us this certainty about that which we would not know unless God revealed it to us. Thus, the psalmist teaches us to petition the judge of the living and the dead, saying this, "Let the evil of the wicked come to an end, and may you establish the righteous, you who test the hearts and the kidneys, O righteous God." And again, notice this evil is death. This evil is this infection of sin which separates from God, takes us away from his light into the darkness. Now also notice here that there's going to be a distinction between two types of people. The wicked, the Rashaim on the one hand, are those who are the unrepentant, unbelieving sinners. They continue in their state of rebellion against God, continuing to resist the work of the Holy Spirit by rejecting the Word of God. Now, on the other hand, there are the righteous. The righteous are those who are righteous by faith. They are the repentant, believing sinners. Now, again, both are sinners. We're all sinners. All fall short of God's glory. But yet the distinction is made here between those who remain in this state of unrepentance and unbelief, who continue to reject the Word of God, resist the work of the Holy Spirit, and those who are righteous by faith, the repentant, believing sinners. These are the ones who cry out to God in faith, in prayer, walking by faith, knowing that God is the one who tests the hearts and the kidneys. For God is the one who gives the gift of faith in the heart. And again, when we look at the Psalms, we see here that God is the judge and God judges the heart. God knows what is in the heart. Now, we can't tell what's in the heart of another individual, another human being. We can only discern what is spoken by the lips, the confession of faith or lack thereof that is made by the lips, what the person says. Or also we can see it in the actions. The words and the deeds show forth the loyalty either to God or to their own sinful nature, either clinging to the Creator who comes to restore creation in the incarnation, or those who cling to fallen creation, continue to try to take a stand against the Creator and live here in this temporal world. Now, we want to look at another psalm. Let's look at Psalm 10. Now, notice what we are taught here in Psalm 10. In arrogance, the wicked hotly pursue the poor. Now, again, what we mean by the wicked are those who are in this constant state of unrepentance and unbelief. And therefore, they hotly pursue the poor, because out of the sinful heart flows forth murder and hatred and oppression and sin. Now again, look at what the Holy Spirit is teaching us in the words of Psalm 10. In arrogance, the wicked hotly pursue the poor. Now the petition. Let them be caught in the schemes that they have schemed. For the wicked boast of the desires of his soul, and the one greedy for gain curses and renounces Yahweh. In the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek Yahweh. All his thoughts are, there is no God. Now, I want to stop here and kind of meditate on what's taking place. The wicked is one who boasts, arrogance, pride, who lets loose with the desires of his soul. Now, these are going to be sinful desires because of the corrupted heart. That's the desires of the soul, his own life, what he wants his will to be done. He's greedy for gain. He curses and he renounces Yahweh. Now, see, these are the words of his lips. This is what he professes. What he confesses is that he rejects Yahweh, the one who has created all things, the Creator, the one who promises to restore all things in the mystery of the incarnation. Here you have the wicked renouncing Yahweh and his word, rejecting the word of God and resisting the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the state of affairs. The wicked are the unrepentant unbelievers who do not seek Yahweh. Instead, they outright manifest a rebellion against Yahweh. You see this? Okay, so here's the deal. They renounce him in their words. They show forth their rejection of him in their deeds as they hotly pursue the poor. Now notice the psalm goes on and says this, his ways prosper at all times. Now, so it seems like the wicked are getting away with these things. Now again, this is the petition of the righteous. This is the petition of the repentant believers who trust in Christ for the forgiveness of sins and the renewal of the Holy Spirit that's given to us to indwell us, to renew our minds, the way that we think, the way that we speak, and the way that we act, that God is converting us with his word. But the contrast here is these unrepentant unbelievers, the wicked, he's the one who's going around saying there is no God, and he's acting like it. Now, we want to pause here and be clear of what the issue is. To say that there is no God is to say that there is no judge. To say that there is no God is to say there is no one who is going to judge my heart or my kidneys, even further down in my heart. In other words, the wicked are saying that their ways are right in their own sight, and they become their own judges. And they don't need to worry about someone else, someone who is the judge of all judges. Instead, they're just following their own heart's desires, which is wicked. These are wicked, sinful desires. This idea of every man being a law to himself, every man being a judge of his own actions, his own thoughts, and his own words. Now again, notice that the psalmist is teaching us that they think, they say there is no God. That's their thoughts. And instead, the psalmist teaches us to pray to God saying, your judgments are on high. And so when we say that God's judgments are on high, what the wicked say is, well, they're out of sight. So if they're out of sight, they're out of my mind, I can get away with whatever I want to do. And therefore, he says in his heart, there is no God. And then he says outwardly with his mouth, there is no God. And then he shows forth this idea in his actions that there is no God, meaning that there is no judge except for himself. Now notice how the psalmist goes on and says, as for all his foes, he puffs up at them. He's puffed up. And he says in his heart, I shall not be moved. Throughout all generations, I shall not meet adversity. This is quoting from what he is saying in his heart. The psalmist, by divine revelation, the Holy Spirit is teaching us what is in the heart of the wicked, and therefore we are learning how the wicked heart works. And so he has this whole idea, the thought in his heart, that he's going to get away with it. He's not going to be moved. He's not going to face any adversity. There's no God. There's no judge. There's no one who's going to stop him. And the psalmist goes on to teach us that his mouth is filled with cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue are mischief and iniquity. You see, all of these sinful actions, these sinful words, these sinful desires come from a corrupted heart. And the unrepentant, unbelieving sinner lets the sin rule and reign over him. It has free course in his life. He's been blinded by the situation. He thinks there's no God because God's judgments are on high. He thinks there is no one to judge him. And then you continue on in this psalm at verse 11. He says in his heart, God has forgotten. He has hidden his face and he will never see it. This is the idea of there being no God according to the wicked. There's no judge. He thinks that God doesn't remember any of this, that God isn't the one who knows what's in the heart, that in fact, God doesn't even know what's in the mouth or in the actions of the hands towards the neighbor. So notice how in Psalm 10, again, we have this understanding of the Hebrew way of speaking about the heart, that the heart is the seat of thought, of thinking, of the will, of wanting, of desiring. And so notice there's this meditative question here at verse 13. Why does the wicked renounce God and say in his heart, you will not call to account? Now, of course, we know that that's the condition of the heart. So the psalmist isn't teaching us to ask a question that we don't know the answer to. The psalmist is teaching us to ask that question of meditation and contemplation, going back to God's word, going back to the revealed knowledge of salvation. That apart from Christ, apart from his work, apart from Christ as the one all-availing sacrificial victim on the cross, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin from the world, who gains for us the remission of our sins, and the ascended Christ, who is the high priest, the one mediator between God and man, who bestows upon us the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Well, apart from this, we are stuck in our sin. We are blinded in the condition of this corrupted nature, of this corrupted heart. The unrepentant unbeliever is in the state where he thinks there is no judge, that there is no God. Because faith, of course, is a gift from God, opening the eyes to see, opening the ears to hear, and opening the heart to believe. But without the work of the Holy Spirit, who comes through the proclamation of the word, the heart remains unrepentant and closed, sealed and calloused, a heart that stays in rebellion against God, resisting his ways and clinging to its own wicked ways. Moving from Psalm 10, we want to move to Psalm 14. Now notice what the Holy Spirit is teaching us through the psalmist. Right at the very beginning in verse 1. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. Now again, as we said in Psalm 10, what it means here is that there is no judge. There's no one to judge his heart. That's what the fool thinks. There's no one who's going to judge the kidneys. No one going to judge his thoughts, his intentions, his schemes, his planning, let alone his words and actions. So the fool says in his heart, because he is an unbeliever and blinded to the truth, there is no God. Thus there is no judge. Now, after making this assertion, notice that we are taught this truth by the psalmist. They, that would be the foolish, the unrepentant unbelievers, they are corrupt. They do abominable deeds, and there is none who does good. Again, note that the heart is not the source of emotions and feelings. The heart is the place of the will and the desires, the want, the drive, but a corrupted drive, a sinful drive, a wicked and perverse drive. Now, of course, what we're discussing here is the state of affairs after the fall into sin. We are part of a fallen creation, corrupted by sin, and our hearts are corrupted. Now, these words, of course, from Psalm 14 are echoed in the words of the prophet Isaiah. The same Holy Spirit who is speaking through the mouth of the psalmist is speaking through the mouth of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 32 of his scroll. For the fool speaks folly, and his heart is busy with iniquity, to do ungodliness, to utter error concerning Yahweh, to leave the craving of the hungry unsatisfied, and to deprive the thirsty of drink. Now, this is Isaiah 32. And notice the foolishness of the corrupted heart, which of course makes us all fools, wise in our own eyes, wise in the wisdom of the world, which of course is infected by sin, self-centered, thinking of ourselves first and no one else. Now notice that the fool is speaking folly. These are the words that come out of his mouth. Now the words, of course, come from the heart that's corrupted. The heart is full of foolishness. But notice what the heart is doing in this language of Isaiah. The heart is busy with iniquity, always plotting and planning, scheming and trying to figure out new ways to take advantage of others, and of course to put self first, to do this ungodliness. That's how the heart works. The heart that is sinful because of the fall into sin is always trying to do ungodliness, ungodly things, things that are not like God. God is love, and God loves unconditionally, selfless love, self-sacrificing love. This is how God loves. But the sinful heart is a selfish love. It's love for self. And so how do you walk in your own wicked ways in the darkness and deception of the devil versus the true way of God in the light? And so notice how the sinful, foolish heart is full of folly, and then it utters error concerning Yahweh, that heart speaks the things that are not true, just like the devil from the beginning, who was a liar. And ever since the beginning of creation, when God spoke everything into existence and the devil brought sin in, there's been this war of words, a battle for the soul and a battle for the heart. But the devil is constantly leading us to walk in darkness and the foolishness of this fallen world. And therefore, we end up speaking words that are foolish, words that are not true. They are of the devil. These are doctrines of demons that separate us away from God. And notice that when you have these words, what is spoken is corrupted. Also, the actions are corrupted. So the heart corrupts the thinking, the speaking, and the acting. And in Isaiah 32, what happens? Well, these are sins of omission, leaving the craving of the hungry unsatisfied, depriving the thirsty of drink. So you see the need of your neighbor, but instead of being of benefit to your neighbor, the corrupted heart by nature and its foolishness wants to be self-serving. And so the hungry go hungry and the thirsty go thirsty. But instead, the foolish fool is concerned about his own hunger and his own thirst and not that of others. Now, this is the sinful condition of the corrupted heart. Notice that the corrupted heart is foolish and filled with folly. Now, let's go back to Psalm 14. Again, notice at the beginning, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Now that's that statement. That's the assertion of the foolish heart. The foolish heart actually thinking that it is a God, that it is the judge of all things, that this individual now knows everything. But notice what the Holy Spirit teaches us by the revealed knowledge, saying this, they are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good. Yahweh looks down from heaven on the sons of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. Now, there are a few things that I want us to see here. First of all, notice how the fool looks around and he's wise in his own eyes and he says, I don't see a judge to judge me. I don't see God acting to prevent me from doing what I want to do. So it's the fool who looks around, wise in his own eyes, and comes to this conclusion, thinking that he has knowledge, thinking that he has wisdom. But yet, he has no knowledge. He doesn't even seek after understanding, let alone seek after God. By nature, we do not seek the truth. By nature, we seek foolishness and the lies of the devil. Now, notice the contrast, though. The fool is looking around. He's wise in his own eyes. He thinks that he knows what he's doing, and he thinks what is right in his sight is good. But it is Yahweh who looks down from heaven upon all the sons of man, all the sons of Adam, all of humanity, knowing what's in the heart and knowing what's in the kidneys, of course. It is God who sees the actions. It is God who hears the words. And it is God who knows what is in the heart. For God himself is wisdom. This is the same language that Moses uses back in Genesis chapter 6, in which the earth is corrupted in God's sight, and the earth is filled with violence, and God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. Why? Because all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Now here you have this contrast between heaven above and earth below. So the man who is on earth, the fool in his heart, thinks everything is fine because he can't see up into the heavens. But the contrast is, God who is above and in the heavens, he's the one who looks down and he sees. He knows what is happening and he hears. All right, now there's one more thing that we want to focus on in this passage. Yahweh is looking down to see if there is anyone who understands, if there is anyone who seeks after God. And notice the conclusion. There is none who does good. They have all turned aside. Together, they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. Now notice this, there's none, not even one, who does good. This is the sinful condition of the corrupted nature of all humanity. By nature, we are all atheists. That is, fools who say that there is no God. By nature, we all think that we are the judges of what is right and wrong. And then we choose to do what is right in our own sight. We all become gods where we seek after our own will, our own wants, and our desires. And by nature, those wills and wants and desires are perverse. They are wicked, and they are against the will of God. In fact, notice that when the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 3, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, that conclusion comes from quoting from Psalm 14. None is righteous, no, not one.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer Jesus Christ continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.